Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we thank you that you're present with us by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, as you're present with us, speak to us this morning. Take these words and thoughts of mine and use them to speak to us. Take our ears and finely tune in the midst of all that I say. Jesus, it's your word we hear. Amen. Please be seated. How many like to do puzzles? Okay. Jigsaw puzzles. Good. Just thought I'd take an opinion poll. Moving on. The Sundays after Easter are the gospel lessons will have been for the last Sunday today and will be through up till Pentecost, the resurrection appearances of Jesus. And there's great similarity in the appearances, and it can seem to you like, well, didn't we hear that last Sunday? But each one has its unique little twist and little difference about it, even though they're the same. Because they're afraid when Jesus appears. They're unbelieving. Can't be true. Jesus then convinces them he is who he is. Do not be afraid. And then trusting him, they go and carry out his mission in the world. Great similarities. Now Luke further complicates it that in our reading today, if you back up a couple of verses in the same chapter, Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 16, you have two stories that you think you've heard one when you heard the other. The first story, which we didn't cover today, is Jesus appearing to two dispirited, let's call them, disciples. We only know the name of one, not a name we've heard before, Cleopas. And most think that probably the unnamed companion is his wife. But these two have come from Jerusalem, are walking to Emmaus. We've often called this passage the walk to Emmaus. And in that passage, you see the structure of the story. Encounter with Jesus, explanation needed, eating with Jesus, enlightenment, and exit. See, these two strangers are walking on the road, and they're just captivated by what's on the news, what's happening, and they're talking about it very confused, and this stranger encounters them, and he says, "What in the world are you talking about?" And their reaction to him is, "How in the world do you not know what we're talking about? Have you not been looking at your iPhone? It's on the news clips. That's all there is. This Jesus died, and now they're saying he's resurrected. We don't understand. It doesn't fit with what we thought would happen." Don't you know that's the story of the day? And this stranger begins to explain to them how all the dots are connected and how what happened to Jesus is exactly what was predicted by Moses and the prophets, and this Jesus did rise from the dead. And he clearly spoke it in his 3 years of ministry. But they're still mystified, even though he's explained. So they're mystified. He begins to explain to them, and then they offer in this story to come on in and let's have dinner together. And when they sit and break bread together, the enlightenment happens. It's you, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. Yeah, it's me. It's me. Then Jesus exits. And for this story, that's as far as it goes, other than we watch then the two go back, and of course they can't keep quiet. Who could keep quiet about such events as that? They've encountered the resurrected Jesus on the road, and he explained to them how it all fit and how all these stray pieces come together to create the story. And it's on the heels of that ending, that story, the walk to Emmaus, that we pick up today's text. And it's the same process. Encounter with Jesus, explanation needed, eating with Jesus, enlightenment, the light bulb comes on, and exit. But this time he walks into a discussion among the disciples. Same kind of discussion as before with the two. We don't understand how the pieces fit. this doesn't make any sense. For you and for me, as we read the Gospels, it's like eyes. He was clear. But you see, they have all these stray pieces. They're getting this in bits and pieces. We have the opportunity to sit and study it all together. For them, it was gobbledygook. Jesus explains how the pieces fit to the disciples. Let me read for you again, Luke 24, beginning in verse 36. As we were talking about these things, Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do your doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, it is I. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and the third day rise from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things." There's an addition. So the structure of this story is just the disciples that don't understand. Jesus explains. Still doesn't really come together who he is until he shares a meal with them. This time he has a piece of fish. Now, a left out detail in this story is we don't know how many in the room then believed. We know in the previous story, both of the two that were there believed. But we don't know. We just assume from the way in which Luke has put it together that all those that were there believed. Because then he explains how all the pieces fit. Now, before he exits, this is an addition to this story from the other. Before he exits in this story, he pushes them out to be a witness of these things. Remember in the last story, he left and they just naturally went out and told what happened. This time he commissions them to go. "You are my witnesses of these things." But other than that, we have really two identical accounts of the way in which Jesus appeared and what happens and the process that takes place. My question I had as I looked at the text for this morning and saw it next to another one: why in the world do we have two stories so similar? Luke, why have you had both of them here? What does the Holy Spirit want us to know? What is he trying to tell us with these stories? Could it be it's about him and not about us? Oh, heaven forbid. I thought it was all about me. I thought it was all about you. I think it's all about him. We pride ourselves that we can get it figured out, right? We are self-made people. We're successful people. Live in a part of the country and a part of the city in which we're a successful group of people. We pride ourselves on we can figure it out, right? And as a guy, and I'm going to speak for the guys here, I can't speak for the ladies, we pride ourselves that we don't need to read a manual. What are you laughing at, ladies? Because we don't need to read a manual, ladies, because we can figure it out. And we don't need to be told that we're lost and you need directions, because we know exactly where we're going. But we're not going to ask, okay? Now, I think the ladies, I'm going to presume for a moment, I think maybe you read manuals, I get that, okay, you sort of reach out for help. But I think when you're sitting at the car trying to tell your spouse where he should be going, you think if you sat in that seat, you'd know where you're going. Going back to that jigsaw puzzle, I didn't just bring that in at the beginning for random, connecting that back in. Many of you heard this before about my dear grandmother. She lived out in the country. We would go out there almost every weekend on a Sunday. We'd be out there for two weeks in the summer, my brother and my sister and myself. And almost any time you would go, my grandmother would have a card table set, and on that card table was a jigsaw puzzle. Now, this wasn't any ordinary jigsaw puzzle. It was always the most complicated of complicated jigsaw puzzles. And she would expect you, because my grandmother was very much the taskmaster, and that was one of the tasks, to be working on the jigsaw puzzle. But you hoped that you would get into the room when she wasn't in the room. Because if she came in the room and you're working on the jigsaw puzzle and you were looking at the box lid, you were scolded and told that you were cheating. Now, how do you put together a jigsaw puzzle without looking at the lid? But she did. She never looked at the lid until she was done. Oh, gosh, this looks like my puzzle. I'm sorry, I need the lid. You know, it's okay to say you need help. It's okay to say you can't figure it out. It's okay to say the pieces just don't fit. It's okay to recognize the shortness of our ability. The text from Luke, verse 45. Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Have you ever opened the Word of God and you say, my gosh, don't get this. How does that fit with this? He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. They walked with Him. We need help. We can't, on our genius, get it all figured out. Not only the Word of God, but how to live life. Who He is and what He expects of us. How to respond to what's before us. It's okay to say, I don't know. I'm mystified. I'm confused. The role of Jesus, from what I'm gathering from these two stories in the book of Luke, is to be He that puts the pieces together for the followers. He that makes sense out of this fruit salad upset. All these stray pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that don't make any sense. He's the lid for us. But He's gone. He's gone. Well, listen to John chapter 16, verse 7. I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Helper, that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, okay, this is a role I had, and I'm leaving, but someone else is going to come in and take that role over. You're not going to be left without. Who is it? The Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. The role of the Spirit now is to be the lid of the jigsaw puzzle for us. To be He that figures it out and puts the pieces together. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The role of the Spirit of God. But you look at me and you say, but Mark, I have Jesus. I've trust in His salvation afforded to me by the cross. I've received His forgiveness. Isn't that what I need? Yeah. You got the salvation part right. You're on first base. And as that happened, as recorded in John chapter 20, He breathed in you the Holy Spirit. But just in about a month, we're going to celebrate the day of Pentecost. It's the remembrance of the event recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 2 and following. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were seated. and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I've underlined in that text, Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, the word filled. It occurred twice. He, the Holy Spirit, filled the entire house. He, the Holy Spirit, filled, saturated each and every one of the disciples in the room that day. You see, it's salvation. The Holy Spirit is in each one of us. But there's this experience of the Pentecost where he's not only resident within us, but he is saturating every part of our being. I don't know about you, but the extent of help that I need isn't just him sitting in there, but I want every part that's available to me of the Holy Spirit moving through me that I may be equipped and understand that which is before me. As we get ready to celebrate Pentecost on the 24th of May this year, sort of akin to what we did during Lent, asking ourselves, what's gotten in the way that is keeping the Holy Spirit from saturating every part of my being? What else have I filled my life up with? My own genius? Other people, other activities? What is it that's in the way for him to come and completely saturate me, that I too, like these early disciples, would be saturated with the Holy Spirit and understand the things of God and the way of life and how I should live? I don't know about you, but I want everything that's available to me from God and every part of the Holy Spirit that's poured out. Bring it on. Bring it on. Because I, to this day, I don't like to do jigsaw puzzles. Because when I do, I feel guilty when I'm looking at the lid. I feel like I'm cheating. But I've come to realize that's just a symbol of it's okay. It's not cheating. I need the help. I can't depend on my ingenuity, my gifts and talents, and gutting through it, making it happen. I need him and the power of his Holy Spirit. Anticipate with me Pentecost Sunday, in which we celebrate the filling, the saturation of the Holy Spirit. And ask God to show you in these weeks before that event what it is that needs to be moved away, pushed out, removed, that he could fully fill, saturate you with his presence. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the stories in the book of Luke that just tell us so much about our need for you. Those disciples that walked with you for 3 years, they couldn't even understand how the pieces fit. So how can we with you? That's how. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Fill us, saturate us with your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.